Testing. Okay. Testing. Yep. Okay.
To complete a card available at the clerk's desk, speakers respectfully request that the limit their comments to 3 minutes. The Planning and Zoning Board prohibits the use of cell phones and pagers which emit an audible sound during the meeting, with the exception of law enforcement, fire and fire rescue, and health care providers on call. Persons in violation will be requested to leave this meeting.
Can you give me a second so I can draw
my
A lot of times this one won't turn off. I got one of these things that doesn't want to cooperate.
Hey, what we used to tell everybody at the courthouse, if you don't know how to turn it off, take the battery out.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I try and kill the blaster thing, but it, ain't coming. This thing says ring and vibration, ring at the vibration, or ring.
Don't worry about it.
Hand it to me, I'll settle it.
I'm going to set it. There we go. Turn it off.
There you go.
Man, that thing, piece of electronic thing is stopping driving me nuts. Okay, did we have any cards turned in?
No, sir.
No? I'd like to approve the minutes for June the 27th, 2013 meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Do you have a second?
I'll second.
Motion is made and seconded. Roll call.
Board Member Austin?
Present.
Board Member Haddock?
Yes.
Board Member Spurrier?
Yes.
Chairman Lewis?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
Okay, the public hearings, there are none, and we'll go to board business. And number one is 2013 PZ68 Site Development Plan for Velcor Gems to be located at Energy Go Port.
Mr. Chairman, I'll present. This project is a site. Mr. Howley Hartwig has submitted a site development plan to develop 1 acre at Energy Cove Court for Velcor Gems Inc. The project is a 1 acre site that will be cut out of the 10 acres that was Mr. Anderson's property, located off Energy Cove Court. According to the plans, is the stormwater retention will be held off-site, and Mr. Hartwig originally submitted some drawings on 5/18, and then again at 6/10. And the one you have is an updated one, or I guess he submitted 6/10, but then again on 7/2. And the comments that we had are based on the drawings that were submitted on 7/2/2013. So I didn't give you the earlier version because he made improvements to it. So. The staff has comments. There are 11 comments that we recommended. Some are just kind of clarification, and Mr. Hartwig has had a copy of these comments since last week. So I'm just going to read them into the record so that we have them. And on the first page of the... On the first page in the box labeled site information, under the parking requirements, the storage area is 2,500 square feet. On sheet A2, the storage area is 1,816 square feet. We need to please clarify what is the correct square footage and the amount of storage affects the number of parking, because basically for the parking requirement for storage area is less than office area. So either one is fine. We just need to make sure they're the same. so that needs to be corrected. Proposed, the zoning needs to be amended. Basically, when this property, when the 10 acres was rezoned back in 09, there was 10, there, as I said, there was 10 acres that Mr. Anderson owned at that time. Now he sold out like one of the pieces to Griffith Grass, and the zoning for that was 3 acres was going to be commercial general C2 and 7 acres was M2. Out of that overall 10 acres, for instance, right now we know that Mr. Anderson's property will be 1 acre taken out in M2 because that Griffith Gas needs M2 in order to exist. The city is doing the rezoning for this property, and based on my review at C2, but I've talked to Mr. Hartwig, we're, right now we have acreage on either side, so it's really up to him to tell me which way he wants to go. After the parcel sells, and I mean we haven't, you know, then the city will go through the administrative rezoning of this parcel. But, you know, so just so you know, so that was the reason for that. And as I said, the city will rezone the property at no cost to the applicant. A dumpster needs to be enclosed that's located on the site. A copy of the St. Johns River Water Management District must be submitted to the city prior to obtaining a building permit. They're still working on their retention. We just need it before he pulls the building permit. All signs on the property must comply with Chapter 110 of the city code. He did give a location, which is fine. Just, you know, we need to make sure it's the right size. Sewer service needs to show typical city connection at right-of-way in the 10-foot utility easement. Height of the new structure needs to be identified. The sheet with the elevation does not have a scale. It seems it'll be under 35 feet, so I don't think that's a problem. But we just, and when the more definitive architectural plans, we'll be able to verify that. That's not a problem. New electric lines must be located underground. If the applicant decides to place a fence on the property, the location and type of fence needs to be shown on the site plan. The fence must meet city code. A complete set of construction drawings with all details need to be submitted to and approved by the city prior to the issuance of building permit. All generated comments by the city department must be addressed. And basically, as he goes into final design, after he actually pulls the permit, staff just needs one more crack to make sure that everything's been included, any comments. And this site is subject to developer's agreement with the city that has reimbursement provisions that are triggered at the certificate of occupancy stage. So we just want disclosure so that he understands we don't forget about that, so full disclosure. But based on those, the staff recommends approval based on those conditions. And Mr. Hartwick, representing the developer, or is part of the development team, I'm not exactly sure, the agent, he's here to ask any questions or respond to any of my comments.
Name and address, please.
Yes, my name's Kelly Hartwig. I reside at the moment at 3334 Hawk Tree Court, as of yesterday.
Good thing you remember.
At the moment.
A couple of things, she's right. I want to make sure we do not, I will have to get with the owner. I think that the industrial zoning is probably what we're going to want versus the C2. This company is moving, relocating to Green Coast Springs, bringing good jobs with it. They manufacture off-site light fixtures, and they're going to do some light assembly and distribution out of their company. So it is a one-story building, basically 5,600 square feet. So I know the height requirement won't be a problem. I have to ask him about the zoning to make sure. But that won't affect us from pulling permits or building or...
No.
We'll make sure.
And I'll make a recommendation to that change condition. I just don't want us to forget about it.
Since we talked last, I've done some research on the district. We have submitted a conveyance permit for the piping on our site. Mr. Anderson has already completed and submitted and gotten approval a letter mod on the retention pond for the entire 10 acres. And that includes 100% coverage of every lot. So he's already done that. So that permit's already in place. So we don't have to worry about that one.
We need something that relates to this particular site. That's all.
I know, that's just the conveyance.
Right. Whatever it is, and we'll review it. But yeah. Which, yeah.
So, the good part is my engineer's sitting here, so, because he's here for the next project. We are not fencing any type for the project, so that shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, the concern we had is there's a bunch of cows out there, so we didn't want the cows in the construction. Really more protection for Mr. Hartwig's project, not the cows, but, and that's all. Yeah, if you go out there, there's a good number of cows on the site.
Okay.
and that the people who own the cows are trying to figure out what they're going to do with their cows. That's up to them.
Are freezers available?
Yeah.
I have a question, ma'am, on that, because I drove out and went down Energy Cove Road, and is it on the right as you're going?
If you
turn on the Energy Cove,
it's on the left.
It's on the left where the pond is.
Well, yeah, there's pond on both sides.
When you turn on Energy Cove, the first thing you see is the pond on the left.
On the left.
First lot is the one that's owned by the Griffiths Gas or Gas Company.
Yeah. Company.
Okay.
Then you have two vacant lots that are owned by somebody else, and then this gentleman will be building right there.
So it's pretty far back in there.
About 700 feet.
Probably about halfway between it and AET.
Well, I wondered why wasn't necessary to put any type of notice that there was a...
We do not, the site plans are technical reviews. There's no it has to be reviewed by a public meeting, but there's no required public hearing. We only post it when it's public hearing.
That's what I was looking for, because I was trying to figure out where it was. And I don't read maps very well at all. So.
I found it by the size of trees.
Yeah.
And where the palm trees are located on the map.
Okay.
That one palm tree.
And it was staked out.
And we're keeping most of the big trees. So. Not as desire to cut down a lot of trees.
Well, I do know the company. I googled the company and found out that they make LED lights and that type for commercial businesses, police, and I guess they're expanding their type of availability.
Good. I'm glad they're coming here.
Yeah, very high-tech company.
And they're coming from?
Jacksonville, actually. One of the owners lives in St. Augustine. The other one lives out on the west side of things, and they were looking for something in between.
Good.
One question is, you've got to get the letter from SWCMA. That's Tampa.
Yeah.
That's generally just required before we get certificate of occupancy.
No, the statute change, I have to get it before. The Florida statute changes, I have to get it before we can issue a building permit. That's Florida statute now.
Generally, that has to do with retention. But I don't matter to me one way.
Yeah,
still get a site permit.
Yes. Yeah, before you're building, these are all triggered at building permit. Vertical construction.
The ones in Jacksonville that I just pulled about 3 months ago, they required us to have a retention pond that proved that we had the retention pond. But the conveyance, they said that.
If you've got a letter that's whatever, if you can provide me what you have from the Water Management District, we'll figure if that's what we need and we can get it done.
Yeah, that was one question that I had was with the St. John's River Water Management District, not SWCMA.
Because this board is aware of Mr. Griffiths' problem, so they're probably very cognizant of the issue.
They're a pain, put it mildly, I guess.
Right.
But they do their job the way they see it.
Actually, Tripp has already talked to them about this site. Is that correct?
Yeah.
The pond, as it's currently permitted, is more than adequate now to handle all these construction sites.
Is that the one that's in the back?
No, it's the one in the front.
Front?
Right.
Because
as it's currently permitted. It's as it's permitted now.
Yeah.
When Griffiths went through, they had not revised their permit to allow for it to be big enough to handle all those sites. Now they've modified their permit to include all these sites.
Yeah, they put in a detention pond instead of a retention pond, right?
Right, and like I said, we just need to make sure that all the whatever happens, because we're the conveyances. But that's something that we, as long as we get a permit or a copy of an exemption or whatever, we need to make sure that the water for this site, if it's on site or off site, it's appropriate, and that's all that.
That question was not only for me, but for you too, because I do know that St. John's Water Management District, some of the things they have come back with have stalled some things. But do we have any questions on board?
Chair, I have a question. As a new member of the board, and I just want to get clarification, and I don't know if you can help me or maybe Janice is on this, what are the advantages or disadvantages to it being zoned either commercial or industrial?
It's just different permitted uses. And basically, if it's an office, C2 would work fine. That kind of saves the industrial for some future development. If he needs the industrial, then we're going to give it to him. We're kind of keeping a bank on all these properties, and so it's kind of whoever comes first in, and until we use up one, it could get to a point at the end of the development that we have only M2 left or only C2 left, and that would then limit what that and last parcel gets developed as. Right now, we're good on either, so they have a choice is the best way of saying it.
Okay. Carolyn, when Mr. Anderson permitted his project, the 10-acre, he agreed to divide it up into a certain percentage of industrial and a certain percentage of commercial. This is prior to us getting involved.
Right.
We just happen to be in that point where we can choose whichever one we want.
Right. Does it make a difference in tax? Your tax roll?
Not really. It
has tax the same.
Uses.
Taxes. Like industrial isn't taxed higher than commercial.
Okay. No, and it really, because they're building a building and they're going to have a property, they're going to do it based on what the use, the actual use is.
So the advantage is saving the industrial for later for more heavy.
Or commercial, whichever one.
Whichever one.
The problem I have is that Velcorp is expanding quite rapidly right now, and they do assemble light fixtures. They're creating and building light fixtures, an LED fixture. And part of what they're looking at doing is this building it's been designed to be expanded three times. So it could actually double or triple in size and still fit on this side. Okay. And when they do that, if they expand their operation to, say, a more aggressive assembly or manufacturing, they need the industrial zoning because they could not expand if their use didn't comply in commercial. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. How many employees are there?
Seven
predicting?
Right now.
Okay.
And basically, this project, is it a good place? It can pick. It's like I said, at some point down the road, there might be a place that they can, and that we'll have to deal with. You know, the owner will have to, Mr. Anderson will have to deal with that at that time. So we're just, like I said, the city's responsible. We'll do the rezonings, and we're letting them pick what works best for them.
They couldn't change it. They did the one on the commercial to begin with. They couldn't change industrial later when the need arises.
They would have to get through the rezoning process, at their cost.
It could have, okay.
Instead of at our cost. And there is a rezoning fee and application. I mean, there's a rezoning fee.
Public hearing
again, and they'd have to be posted and advertised. It's probably about $1,000 they would have to spend. And so we're just letting them pick it which they want.
Thank you.
Any more comments? Questions? We'll entertain the motion.
I'll make a motion to recommend to the City Council the approval of 2013 PB 68, a site development plan for property located off Energy Cove Court to be developed for Velcor Incorporated.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, the motion is passed and seconded. Roll call, please.
Board Member Austin?
Yes.
Board Member Haddock?
Yes.
Board Member Spurrier?
Yes.
Chairman Lewis?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
And this will go before the City Council on their August 6th meeting for final approval. That's fine. We can start the other review while you're done. Mr. Chairman, the next item?
Pardon?
The next item?
Next item. Item 2. 2013 PZ 77 site development plan for the revised site plan for public safety building to be located at 1001 Idlewild Avenue.
Yeah, back in July of, it was either your June or July meeting, the police building, and I can show you the two different ones, I've got all the drawings, was submitted to you, and here is, excuse me, if you want to take one, Marilyn. This was the original, the site plan that was submitted at that time, and it was approved by the council in August, and so therefore that was what we had to do. But then, as probably anyone's aware, after the bids came in, because we as the developer, the city, even though we own our building and we review it, we still go through the same process for any government project. Any project the city does, as if you were a developer. We make the county do it, we make the school board do it. School board has a little bit of issue, they don't have to go through a building permit, but we make them go through site plan, as any developer would do. And because the change in the reduction of the building from the substantial reduction from, I think it was the 16,000 down to 13,000, it caused some changes in all the site plans, et cetera. We also some reductions. So to be fair to, as we required Mr. Griffiths to come back with a revised site plan when he didn't develop it as he originally planned, the city is submitting a revised site plan for this project as now that is proposed with the reduction. And I've got a, if you're interested, on the site, but also have a copy of the facade, the change of the facade, as well as the floor plan. And I have the old one if you want to look at it too. But basically, that's what we're doing. In the original, last year, there was about four conditions because it hadn't been completed. Basically, as projects get to final design, usually the comments are less. When they're more preliminary, there's usually more comments. So last year, we weren't at final design. I guess we were probably like 90-95%, so there were a couple of comments that were generated last year, actually, that went to council on July 26th. There were four comments. But for instance, one of the comments was talking about interior sidewalks, to dimension it. Well, if you look at our current site plan, it was dimensioned, so there was no point to put a comment, to carry a comment over. So anyways, basically when we started reviewing it, we noticed some issues related to the staff, related to the landscaping. I was in communication with the landscape architect, Udraut, and she submitted some revised plans because one of the issues the last time was the mitigation, and we had worked that out. So then it was tree mitigation, so it was weird, and she just left that table off her chart. She submitted revised plans. So based on the comments and the revised plan, staff is recommending approval of site development plan with no conditions. It's a permit set that's dated 6/24/13. Except for the revised landscape and irrigation sheets, which is sheets L1.3, L2.3, L3.3, and IR1.1, IR2.2 that were dated 7/10/13. And we recommend that it be approved as that. And we have our acting chief here, as our chief's out of town if you have any questions, but both Sue and I are very familiar with this project also, so. Right.
Okay, do we have any board comments or discussions?
Just a question. Was the landscape the only thing that changed with the reduction? The parking was the same?
Oh, no. The whole site changed. It's the only, when they submit,
you can see the site, well, I don't have the site plan. I just gave them copies of the site plan.
Big additions are
If you look at the new site plan and the old site plan, which is in front of you, and this is just the building, there are some changes to the parking because they took some stuff out the back. I mean, because they squished the building down, it revised some of the drives, they reduced them. So if you take, for instance,
how much parking in the front of the building where there was no parking before?
They reduced the total number of parking. There's just various changes that occur. The only reason the landscape is identified in the staff report is when they resubmitted the landscape with the permit set, there were things lacking. And instead of, the permit set is about 2 inches thick, instead of resubmitting the whole permit set again, we just had those sheets and they redated them so we knew that we're dealing with the right revised landscape plan. And actually, they changed some. They have a plan, but primarily it was not, the original landscape plan did not include the mitigation calculations. So that's one of the things we look at, is the trees that were torn down and the trees that we're saving and what trees we need to put. So, that's pretty much it. But all the entire site plan changed. If you compare the two, you can see that. But the parking and drives changed. Because if you look at the old building, there's just like a square. It's more of a square. If you look at the new, it's kind of zigzag a little in the rear. Mm-hmm. That's just one example.
Okay. Well, I was just curious if, the landscape was listed, but you explained that. So.
Okay.
Any more comments? Entertained motion?
It recommends the City Council approval of 2013 PZ 77, a revised site development plan for the property located at 1001 Idlewild Avenue for development of Green Hill Springs Public Safety Emergency Operations Center.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, motion been passed and seconded. Roll call.
Board Member Austin?
Yes.
Board Member Haddock?
Yes.
Board Member Spurrier?
Yes.
Chairman Lewis?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
Okay, do we have any staff comments?
Just kind of a comment came up at our last meeting related to the trailer that was up at the shopping center. I talked to our code enforcement officer, and unfortunately, which we'll get into, that if you read the definition of our code of parking lot, which it is a parking lot, means any area or plot of land which is solicited for storage or parking of motor vehicles, but no vehicles are equipped, repaired, or sold, and I'm trying to do, but you're allowed to keep, in his recommendation reviewing the parking area, those trailers are allowed because they are, it says it can be ones that can be pulled or are actually motor vehicles, and since it does have a tag that it could be pulled by a use, it can remain. Now, that's not to say that we can't recommend code changes like our promise that's moving forward, but...
So there's a difference in the business district, central business district.
It's our definition of parking. Now we
that
can
stays the same no matter where
right,
it is.
But we can we can keep gearing in on things in our central business district or in our gateway corridor. What we don't want, we can make is, you know, we have right now special requirements with architectural review that you need certain design standard. We have different landscaping requirements. We have different parking requirements for the actual requirements, but we can also have, we can add additional, you know, definitions that are more appropriate to the gateway corridor. But my feeling when I, my personal opinion, when I read the definition, when I talked it over with Mr. Felter, our code enforcement, I think the definition probably needs to be changed, and it's probably too broad. I don't think you want, because there are other places where trailers are parked in parking spaces, and when we do our parking calculation, we're assuming those parking spaces are for the use of the customers coming to the site, not for leaving your trailers, because that's really a storage, and that's what you're selling. So I think that's something that, and you can recommend that we come back with a better,
what does that tank contain, you know?
I'm not sure.
Does that, what it contains, it could be a fire code.
Well, that might be something we can call the fire department and see if they can
because
check it out.
They're storing 400 gallons of...
That's a good idea, and I'll mention, I'll talk to Chief Knopf to see if we can have them check it out. That might be another way to leave.
That issue or the issue?
Total.
I'm sorry?
The total issue of the parking.
Okay.
Well, that and
trailers.
There's two issues. If there is a site plan on a property, i.e. the shopping center up the street, they can put a trailer parked there.
If they have a site plan.
If they have a site plan that shows parking and they're in a parking space. Now, if they don't have a site plan, then that's another issue that the trailers aren't supposed to be there because they don't have a site plan, you know. So they're kind of two different. I know what you're talking about, the other site.
That the other site also?
No, it doesn't have a site plan, so it's
so that's definitely
a different situation. Right, exactly, yes, Ms. Burrier. Okay. And also, just so you know, what we do is we have if you go on our website, we have established application dates. So usually before your meeting here, we've already had the cutoff date for your next meeting. And we will be coming before you next meeting with, I've already got an application for a new, I think it's, they just say 9,100 square foot of commercial at State Road 16 and Sunset Avenue. So that's been submitted, so you'll get that next month. And they've got...
You're breaking me in real well, aren't you?
Hmm?
You're breaking me in real well.
Yeah.
I'm 9,100 square foot.
Yeah, I think it's like a the new, it's freestanding building, probably my gut feeling is a Dollar Tree, Dollar Store, Dollar one of those, Dollar General, I'm not sure which one. They like to keep it quiet till the end, but.
What is there now?
Nothing. It's a vacant property. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is one, because it's in the Gateway Corridor, I mean, I told them, and I haven't really looked at it, to be honest with you, but, you know, we're supposed to make it look more like, you know, we want it to look like, so. I let them know when we were talking about it that the it can't be just aluminum siding on the side, that they need to put a facade of brick or stucco and et cetera. But, yeah. Yeah. But that's, you know. So.
New business?
Exactly. It's a new business, and as I said, permit activity is increasing. I thought it would become next month, but probably the following month. Dreamfinders is coming with their start with their first plat of the remainder of Magnolia Point Phase 8. So that's, if it's not next, it probably won't be next month because they haven't submitted anything, but probably the following month. So that'll be coming. So that's, and we've got building activity is increasing. I think we're almost issuing 1 to 2 new houses a week, not just a month. So Magnolia Point and Clay County Clay Habitat is building 3 houses. It's under construction right now. Yeah.
Do we have any more comments?
Okay, is it, are we back to board comments? Board comments?
Sure.
Okay. Today, the Clay County Historical Society is 47 years old. It was formed in 1966, and in 1975, the History Museum began operating down in the historical courthouse. In 1975, and then 93, we added the railroad collection. But 47 years old, that one nonprofit organization, so I thought I'd mention that. And then we also met this week with the Archives Historical Task Force. It's been long overdue, so we met with that. And one of the bullet points was the economic and tourism development. And coincidentally, tomorrow, the Historical Society, we have a tour from, people are coming from Penny Farms, 30 folks, on the bus full, and they're coming to the historical triangle, which has the museum and the King Court and the old courthouse and the archives. And so we're going to give them a tour, and then we're going to go down to the Council on Aging, and then take a tour around town. They're going to take a narrated tour around town and see some of the sites. So I thought that, and then again Monday we have another one coming Monday from Westminster Community in Julesen Creek. So. I thought that really falls in line with economic and bringing in tourism, and so I wanted to mention that. They are going to meet at the museum at 9:45 if any of you would like to join us.
When is that, tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. I'll make a comment on the cruise boat, the riverboat down at the pier. We went down there and looked at it the other day. I went on the website, and everything seemed to be pertaining to groups and that type of thing, and instead of individual going on and purchasing tickets for dinner cruise. Is that that way?
I have no idea. I don't know. Ms. Heath, do you have any more information? I just know that it's docked here again. That's all I know.
I do know that they do organize groups, but I think the last 2 times they were here, you could just go down and buy tickets.
I didn't know. So
yeah.
Because
I know some people that went on it. You know, mm-hmm. They just went down and bought their tickets at
the only other question. The only other question I had was, why don't they have brochures on the boat dock? Because people walk up and look at it.
There are some flyers around town. I've seen some flyers around town, like at the post office. And they are on the flyer, they request a reservation for tomorrow evening's tour, boat ride and refreshments. But
I didn't know that, because it doesn't seem like it'll go out as often. Right,
it does need some more marketing and publicity, for sure.
They need to do more marketing and stuff like that if they want to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see them successful, that's why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah, I don't know. But I do know a lot. I know when when he came to the council to talk about it, he says it really doesn't matter where they are located, because most of their people drive to wherever. So I think a lot of his business is groups. I think that's a party vote. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they need to put so many people to make it worth their while economically to take it out for fuel and things. So.
Yeah. And they do have a website because they have other boats too. And I haven't checked the website to see if they have on there, you know, that they're located here at the city with the one now. But they have on their website for the Jacksonville office. I mean, they have the menus and the amounts and everything. It's a pretty nice website, actually. But we can certainly, I can pass that on to the city manager.
It was just a curiosity question.
We do have a number of calls though at City Hall, you know, asking about it, and we refer them to the Jacksonville number. So it'd be nice if they had a brochure here.
Yeah, I thought there'd be a flyer thing down there at the end of the pier. Because when I was down there, there were four or five people came walking down. Oh, what's this?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that'd be a good idea to have information there.
And I'll pass it along.
So it ought to be mentioned to them saying, hey, you put flyers down here. You're probably up your business. Advertising is.
And I would like to recommend that you and your wife go, and then you can come and let us know how it works.
Cheap appetizer. Okay, that's all the comments and questions. Okay, next meeting will be held on Thursday, August 22nd, 2013, at 5 p.m. Close this meeting at 5:39.
August the 22nd is the next meeting?
22nd, yes.
Okay.
It's on pause recording.
Okay. I'm so used to coming to...